Loading on the Hot Lava Podcast, Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. That's my boss, Ryan Finley. He's the sports editor of the Union Tribune. He's in San Diego, where I look forward to being in a little less than 3 weeks. But it's way too early to start counting. That just makes the time go slower at Groundhog Day spring training. Ryan, with all that in mind, that we have 3 weeks to go, we're about halfway through spring training, where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with Joe Musgrove. You had a great story in today's Union Tribune about Joe Musgrove's return from Tommy John surgery. He made his first outing yesterday against Great Britain in a 2-2 tie. The results and the number of pitches he threw and all of that are important, but not as important as Joe getting back out there and feeling comfortable. How did you sort of grade his outing, and how did he say he fared?
A plus based on what you just said. What did he throw? 60 pitches, 36 strikes. The breaking stuff got better. He found his command a little bit later. First inning was long. Joe felt really good about a lot of things, and the metrics bore it out. His velocity was up, back where you would expect it to be. The metrics supported what he and others said about the pitches and their shapes. So Tommy John surgery, we have sort of just started to take it for granted. It's actually been several years where it's like, oh, Tommy John surgery. Oh, yeah. Like, everybody's had those, right? Like, yeah. And certainly there are a lot of success stories. And it's generally true, especially a veteran pitcher like Joe, works really hard, that he's going to come back. And at some point, he's going to look like Joe Musgrove. That's not a certainty, but it's like, yeah, you know what? I would bet on that. But how long is it going to take? When is the consistency going to be there? These are complete unknowns. So yesterday was about him pitching in a stadium, facing a few major league hitters on the Great Britain squad, getting three, what they call three ups, right? Like, he got taken out in the first inning after like 26 pitches and he only recorded one out. But then in spring training, you can come back in. So then he pitched a nice second inning and he went back out for the third inning. That's his third up. And he got a couple outs. And, you know, like I said, the pitches got better. And the important thing, Joe is healthy and Joe felt good.
Yeah, but what's a reasonable expectation for Joe Musgrove in 2026?
Oh, and now after all that, Joe, now you're asking me what are we? Okay. I love Joe's answer that he's tried not to have expectation. He has a lot of desires, and his desire would be to be close to that guy, you know, that went 181 and two thirds innings back to back years, 2021 and 22. That guy who in 24, even though he knew it was only a matter of time till his elbow essentially, you know, fell off, that he was an effective pitcher and gave everything while he was out there. He was doing quality start after quality start at the end of the season. That 150 innings, yes, 26, 28 starts. This is me, not Joe. But those are the kind of things that he desires that the Padres are certainly hope/counting on. That if Joe makes 26 starts, here's what it looks like. It's not like, oh no, 26 starts instead of 30 or 33. That means he was shut down at the end of the year. No, no. If Joe makes 26 starts, that likely means that at some point, June, July, maybe again, August, September, they went 7, 8, 9 days between starts instead of every 5 days to sort of, you know, give him a little rest. That's what you do with a guy coming back like this. Or you find that time where he maybe tweaked his calf a little bit. You gave him a 2-week IL stint or something. That's how you find some extra time for these guys. If Joe makes 26 starts, he went 150 innings. That meant he pitched pretty well, and that would be good.
Right. I know that people get hung up on what number starter you are and what you have to pitch like. But I mean, if he can just be a number two or three starter in terms of sort of stuff and results, is that sort of what the Padres are looking for at this point?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would be ecstatic. And then that is if, you know, Michael King and Nick Pivetta were ones and twos or one and three. And then also, Joe could be your number five starter if Randy Vasquez stepped up, right, to be your number two, and Walker Buehler was maybe your number four or whatever. Like, yes, I love the way you put that, you know, we get caught up in what number these guys are. And look, Sad this wrote the other day about the fifth starter, whatever that means. And Ruben Niebla, the pitching coach, was explaining in there sort of that thing of like, well, not only both he and Craig Stammen say when the number five's out there, he's supposed to pitch like he's the number one. Are we expecting that every time? No. Yeah. But like, yeah, you know what? A guy's a major league pitcher. He's going to give you seven every once in a while, and he's going to give you six shutout every once in a while. Well, what if Randy Vasquez does that more than you expected? And then, but Joe wasn't quite what you hoped, or Michael King wasn't quite what you hoped. Well, you just need other guys to step up. So, but yes, is it slotted right now? Pivetta, King, Musgrove, Vasquez, and then, you know, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, the five guys battling for the starter spot, air quotes.
Right. Let's talk about those five guys. They brought in some veterans. It's an interesting group to me, and I know we're going to spend way too much time in spring training talking about guys who might not be on the team, but to me, it's a really fascinating group of veteran guys battling it out for this number five spot.
Right. And three of them are pitching today. Walker Buehler will start. I believe J.P. Sears, left-hander, will follow him. Tristan McKenzie, a very interesting guy who's had success and made 80 major league starts, will go after that. So it's probably, if they all meet their quota, you're probably talking about that might be all you see today is those three guys. And we've reached that point of spring where there's, you know, you're going to try to arrange some minor league games like on the field in front of me here where you're getting guys work, but you're also going to have to bring in a starter to pitch in like the third, fourth, and fifth inning. We might see that a little bit more. But here's Walker Buehler making his first start in a stadium for the Padres. He faced the NC Dinos from the KBO last week, went three innings. They get that from him today against the Mariners, and who, you know, probably, I don't know what they've been doing, but probably have four or five major leaguers at least that he faces today in a pretty good lineup. And this will be a really good test for the guy who you know, probably the front runner for that spot. But that doesn't mean that it's his job to lose or anything like that. There's intriguing guys. Marco Gonzalez, an intriguing guy for that spot as well.
And Herman Marquez.
Herman Marquez, who I believe, Herman Marquez, who pitches tomorrow, is the other one. Thank you, Ryan. And you're always there for the save when this old man forgets something. But I knew there was a guy there. So this is, look, almost all they can go off of, like Herman Marquez and Walker Buehler coming back from his second Tommy John, his last 2 years, that's just a tough go, your second Tommy John. Herman Marquez has had a tough time coming back from his first Tommy John. You're talking about a guy who was pitching half his games in Coors Field. Marco Gonzalez coming off of a year out of baseball while injured. Tristan McKenzie was down in the minors most of last year, reworking his mechanics. Seems like almost a different pitcher now. You're talking about having to judge these guys in spring training. So these next 3 weeks are gigantic for the Padres and these pitchers that they're evaluating.
Right. To say nothing of J.P. Sears, a guy who was included in the trade last year that brought Mason Miller to the Padres in the Leo DeVries trade. I mean, this was a guy who the Padres, I think at least initially thought could really help them down the stretch and really didn't. The fact that he is left-handed, I know that they don't get too hung up on handedness when it comes to starting pitching. I think having a lefty in your rotation is something you want. To me,
yes.
Gosh, he stands out only because, again, not only is he an established major leaguer, maybe not quite on the Walker Buehler level, but the fact that he's left-handed, you know, gives both him and maybe Marco Gonzalez a little bit of a different look compared to the
other. I don't know if I've made this point here. I made it to JP. I made it to other people. If J.P. Sears had been signed in the offseason, this guy who's an established starter, has had periods of success for the Yankees and the Athletics, if he'd been signed in the offseason by the Padres or acquired in a trade in the offseason, I feel like fans would be like, yeah, the Padres did something. They got their number five or number four starter. Yeah, because we love the shiny new thing, right? And I feel like I would probably be going that direction too. Like a lot more like, hey, yeah, here's a guy who did his job. Well, the problem is JP Sears came in, he made five starts, you know, four of them were mediocre at best. A couple of those were really bad. So now he's no longer the shiny new thing. He's a guy who was here and in a very small slash unfair to judge sample size, You believe you already know what you have in J.P. Sears. Well, J.P. Sears has had five or four bad starts for the A's before and yet had time to turn that into a four-something ERA, which is kind of what you're not looking for, but kind of what you figure you're going to get out of the number five starter. So you are totally right. Like, J.P. Sears is a viable candidate here.
Yeah, there's a Ramon Laureano version of that argument too, Kevin, where if they went out during the offseason and signed Ramon Laureano or traded for Ramon Laureano, it would be received, I think, a little bit differently than, oh, the Padres didn't do a whole lot this offseason. Well, yeah, it's because they did most of their shopping last July 31st.
And they said so. It's not like they're like revisionist history here. They basically, in August, did their off-season shopping, Freddie Fermin, Ramon Laureano, J.P. Sears, Mason Miller. They did that this off-season? They would have won another won the off-season trophy in the trophy case there at Petco Park.
Right. They have a lot of those. By the way, a lot of won the offseason.
Haven't got it one with the big flags there. You know, they haven't got one of those, but a lot of the won the offseason trophies.
Yes, I think. Yes, exactly. Kevin, we've talked a little bit about the veterans trying to make the club from the pitching side. Fill me in on sort of this battle at first base slash DH. Got a couple of right-handed veterans who bring, I think, a lot of similar traits to the field there in Nick Castellanos and Miguel Andujar. How's that competition going? How do they sort of compare and contrast in your mind?
Very interesting. Like, you could be really turned on by like both of them and what you've seen, and certainly what Miguel Andujar has done against lefties the last two seasons. I know his whole career, but the last two seasons, it's dang near 1,000 OPS against lefties. And the other day, you saw exactly what you want to see out of them. They both had three plate appearances against lefties. Andujar, singled twice and walked. Double and home run for Castellanos. Castellanos has turned in a bunch of professional at-bats, somewhat funnily. There's no replay in spring training. He doubled the other day. It was called foul on the 11th pitch of his at-bat, or the 10th pitch of his at-bat. His 11th pitch at-bat, he grounded into a double play. That was his second 11th pitch at-bat. These guys are pros. Castellanos hit 17 bombs last year, batting in the middle of the Phillies lineup. He's not washed up. This was a really good flyer for the Padres, and I think that both those guys are going to get significant playing time when you talk about first base DH. I will say defensively, they're both an adventure. Castellanos has worked his butt off there. There is no question about it, and he's learning on the fly. It's a tougher position than people think, and who the heck knows what's going to happen there. He may be just fine. I will tell you that far and away, their best first baseman is Gavin Sheets, and he's better. If you watched every White Sox game and you saw Gavin Sheets at first base, which most of us did not do, right? He's far better than that, from my understanding. Like, I've seen him and been like, wow, he's playing really well. And people that have watched him forever say, yes, this is, I mean, he's just really playing a solid first base. Who's going to be the guy who plays the most? Well, I mean, it's going to be the guy who's hitting. And right now you're thinking that Sheets is pretty much only going to face righties. And then one of the other guys, probably Castellanos at the start at least, will be in there against lefties. And that Andujar would then be the DH that day, or vice versa. That's what you're thinking now.
Yep. There's a small group of guys who are maybe not, as of today, going to make the club, but certainly in a conversation, that are playing a lot here with the Padres stars, Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., et cetera, in the World Baseball Classic. What have you seen from those guys?
Well, they've got two incumbents. And what we're talking about here is basically like the 13th spot, the 13th position player. And there are 13 position players. And so You're talking about Mason McCoy and Bryce Johnson. Mason McCoy, an infielder. Bryce Johnson can play all three outfield spots. Mason McCoy plays up the middle in the infield. Those are like your incumbent guys, and they have this tool, both they have tools that that 13th guy needs, speed, and they play defense, and they're both good at it. Okay, well, the Padres also have a bunch of infielders who can play outfield. Now, are they as good? Are they the guy you're going to put in defensive replacement? Andujar, Castellanos, Sheets, if he was on the bench. That's a question. So it's what will the Padres value, right? Like, to me, this is Bryce Johnson's job to lose because of the versatility in the outfield. He's your only natural center fielder when Jackson Merrill's not there on a DH day or, you know, whatever, a day off. But you also have now Song is going to Sungmin Song, who's playing shortstop today, adding that to his repertoire. If he, you know, does that well, or even if he doesn't, he's primarily a third baseman, can play second. He's going to get some left field time. Okay, well, wait, now, like, it's not just a matter of, are you going to have a fifth outfielder or another extra infielder? No, like, they have all these guys that play all over the place. And so it's not as cut and dry as, oh, there's one spot. Oh, well, this guy. Mm-hmm. I still think Bryce Johnson having a nice spring, what he did last year, I just think it's his job to lose that 13th spot. But also, yep. Mike Schilt's not the manager anymore. Like, are they going to value the bunt as much? Are they going to, you know, Mike kind of gave up on the running as not as much in 25 as he did in 24. But are they going to value the small ball as much? I do think they will. But so it's really, really interesting if you're into that sort of thing, which I need to be, and I do allow myself to get caught up in the whole spring training thing. I don't know that Samad Taylor, who has, he's a guy who's played in the majors. He's here on a minor league deal. I like him a lot. He doesn't play a great defense. And that's just one of the traits that you need if you're going to be that guy. Jace Bowen has gotten a lot of playing time, plays a beautiful outfield, never played in the majors. Don't know that he's a great runner. Though they're testing him out to see. So there's another guy. I'm trying to think if there's more. I really do think that, Bryce Johnson, if they're going to go that route of that type of player, which I think they are, that it'll be Bryce Johnson.
Right. And if somebody like a Ty France is going to make the team, it's probably going to be because of an injury to somebody who right now is penciled in. It's Ty France or Nick Castellanos, Ty France or Miguel Andujar. Right.
I'm really glad you brought that up and probably should throw Jose Miranda in there too. I mean, you know, guy could end up hitting 600 and not making the team. And you know, same with Ty France. It's just about like, what do they want? It would be like, they would just have to determine we can do without this skill set because we like Ty France coming off the bench for us in this spot because he can get on base. We like Jose Miranda coming off the bench for us. And that's fine. You can win that way. I mean, without a doubt, you can. But, like, I just don't know that that's what they're looking for. And that is the question. Even, look, these guys meet the baseball AJ Preller's group that he calls them. They meet, like, infinitely. And this is the kind of stuff they're going over.
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's compelling. And to me, it's so different even from last year. You know, last year we were looking at sort of the Hayward-Yuli Gurriel combination, and both those guys made the club and all of that. But to me, it seems like there are at least more names. I don't know if there's more talent, but it seems like there's more names battling for these final spots.
I think it's
both. Yep, both.
Yep. And Kevin, I put you on names and talent. Go ahead.
Yep. I put you on the spot at the end of every episode, and I know you've got a game to get to here, so I'll be quick. Kevin, I sure as heck care about Alex Verdugo. He was the best high school baseball player in Tucson, Arizona when I lived there. I lived there for a long time. You know some people who know some people. So I've always followed Alex Verdugo. Should we care about Alex Verdugo?
Here's what I'll say. The expectations are not high, but the reports, even in his first 2 days in camp, are sky high. Like, he has really come in taken to being like a minor leaguer, a leader down there, getting involved with other players. Like, so that's good. Now, can he still hit? I mean, the dude, there are people that thought that this guy was going to be a star, right? What was he, a second round pick? He was, obviously really good, strong capital for the Padres to make, or the Dodgers to make a, yeah, it was the Padres tried to make a trade for Mookie Betts. Maybe if they had Alex Verdugo, they would have got him. The Dodgers to make that trade to get Mookie Betts. He at one point was one of the better top 10-20% of hitters against right-handed pitchers. This is a guy who could surprise the Padres and end up being a contributor on their team. Sure, they signed him to a minor league deal and put him in minor league camp. That tells you all you need to know about how far he has to go. But this is he's still just 29 years old. They obviously, just as they did last year, spent a lot of time with him, and they ended up not signing him last year. He ended up going to the Braves and cratering. They spent a lot of time with him this year, talking to him, getting his mindset, his commitment level. And so far, even people that weren't thrilled on him have said, you know what? Looks like he's really taking to this opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who they've played footsie with the last two or three off seasons, right? They clearly see that there's something there. Is it fetishization of Dodgers? Is it just that this is a guy they've always liked?
The guy they've always liked. I remember hearing, I don't know, was it 1920? Like, I remember hearing his name, and look, let's not put too much importance on that. Preller talks about everybody, but I remember hearing his name as someone viable that they would be interested in adding as they tried to build their club. And then it seemed like almost every year they were looking at Alex Verdugo in terms of trade. And then last offseason, they spent a lot of time and then decided not to sign him. And, I guess just like not re-upping Jurickson Profar, that looked good.
Yeah.
They both went to the Braves, and yes, the Padres saw that they dodged bullets.
Yes, not so much. Yeah. Alex Verdugo, fun fact, Kevin, he went to Saguaro High School in Tucson, Arizona. That is spelled Saguaro, Shuaro. Not to be confused with Saguaro High School in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is spelled Saguaro. Because there are about six high school names in Arizona. You just mash them all together. That's how it works.
Only someone who is the sports editor of a Arizona paper for many years would know that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Kevin, I know you've got a game to get to. Thank you for hopping on and talking Padres spring training with us. I'm sure we'll get together at some point next week and see what else has happened. Maybe there will be a little World Baseball Classic news. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it getting to where we're down to the DR, Japan, the United States, I don't know, Puerto Rico or Venezuela. That is some really, really good baseball.
So what you're saying is you didn't watch seven innings of Australia, Chinese Taipei last night like I did?
No, I didn't even watch Korea and the Czech Republic, even though, the Czech Republic is always an interesting team with the plumbers and the insurance agents on there. That's it's freaking awesome. I really should be into that, but that's just not something I'm doing, is watching those games.
Yeah, you're sort of living and breathing baseball. I can imagine when you get home, you probably want to not do that.
Czech Republic, Korea. Yeah, I can skip that.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.